Hello and welcome to Tweets Ahead, which is the wonderful world of the Trinisphere, where I pronounce things incorrectly.
Okay, and welcome to Tweets Ahead, an Irish podcast that's, well, it's all about talking tweets, Twitter, and the ridiculousness of the Twitterverse. This week I'm joined by Sean and Cormac. How are we doing today, lads?
Yeah, good, thanks. I'm just here sipping on some Heineken. I've got some proper popping popcorn.
Proper popping?
Yeah.
Some vitamin H.
It's actually called proper corn. But I think the company should have used a little alliteration there. Proper.
Is it made by Conor McGregor? Or?
Actually, I don't know. It's made by someone
probably
called
is.
Cassandra. Yeah, it's really nice popcorn. I think it's handmade. Yeah, I'm going to be munching away on that.
Cool. I see you've also right, made yourself a big purchase.
Oh yeah, I got a podcast mic, and I'm currently trying to juggle that and your dog Berkeley, who wants to lick the microphone because he wants the popcorn.
Making a great start this week already. I love it.
Oh, I'm ultimately prepared this week.
Because we know two podcasts ago, Sean, where there was a bit of an incident where you came unprepared.
Oh, I had absolutely nothing. Yeah, and I completely winged it. But this week...
Well, this week, I'm that guy, unfortunately. For unforeseen circumstances have led to me not having anything prepared.
So you're coming at us, like, after all the stick you give Sean, like 2 weeks ago, you're coming at us unprepared this week.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't say unprepared, but I certainly am not as prepared as well as I would like to be, Fergal.
Listen, we'll find out. Great, so for Irish Twitter this week, Sean, we'll start with yourself since you're uber prepared this week.
Oh, I'm uber prepared.
Alright, well listen, show us what you have.
Well, the first thing that I saw trending was the Healy Rays.
Okay.
Yeah, two of you would be delighted to know that. And basically, Danny said about wearing the face mask that he couldn't wear one because it would start him into a fit of coughing. And obviously when that went up on Twitter, it just had like, it was just mental, like it was just people going left, right and centre, just going on them the same. If he could claim expenses for it, he'd buy one. Other people referred to the Healy Rays as the said Carrier Mafia. Yeah, they just didn't take well to him not wearing a mask at all.
Which one is he now? He's the one that doesn't wear the cap, I think, either. So he obviously has a problem with...
He likes to go against the grain, Cormac.
Yeah.
Is he the one now? I'm fairly into my politics, but I just get the Healy Rays mixed up at times. He's the newer one on the scene.
Yeah, he's the newer one, I think.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. They're bringing out newer models of these two.
True, yeah. Is he the one that said something fairly foolish recently about climate change and then had to renege on it? Does anyone remember? I can't remember exactly.
I've said a few things about climate change that's been utterly ridiculous, no?
Yeah, he has, but I think he's never reneged on them before, and then he reneged on one of them there a couple of months ago, you know.
Yeah, the drink diving thing as well, they've never kind of held well over that.
they're still going at that, aren't they? In terms of, you know, they're still claiming that it's fine, and like rural pubs should have different rules during COVID, and in terms of food service and stuff.
Yeah, it's their way of life, isn't it?
Well, a cynical person, Sean, would say that, considering, you know, there are well-known links to that industry, the publican industry, that they might have something to gain from that sort of specific legislation.
Possibly so. Yeah, I'd say so.
Aren't they very much allegedly into those politics of fix my pothole and, or, you know, I'll fix your pothole if I get your vote, that kind of thing, aren't they?
Yeah, it's, you know, parish pump politics, I think, is what it's called. But, like, you know, they're fairly successful. You know, they're about hanging about a long time.
That's what they're there for.
And, they've been kingmakers for a few governments now. Their father was as well.
The second thing that I noticed on Irish Twitter was the Dean Rock fiasco. A kind of like a screenshot of his prices for one-to-one training and group training to take free kicks went up, and Twitter just exploded. So, like, stuff for like a one-to-one session is 350 for first two sessions, and then €200 after that. Twitter exploded with a lot of people kind of giving out. But it's something that's been creeping into the GAA, like coaches getting paid for stuff. And like GAA, it's an amateur organisation, but it's very professional.
Yeah.
And this has been coming, I think.
Well, when I first seen it, I was a little bit uncomfortable with it in the beginning, as an come here now, like, he's taking the mick sort of thing. But then I seen some of the comments underneath it, and it turned me back around to being on his side, as in, like, there was a lot of comments just suggesting, purely because he was from Ballymun, that he should know better and he should do this for free. I mean, look, I do watch GAA and I do follow it, but being from Loud, we're probably not as well versed in everything that's going on as somebody from Dublin or Kerry or Mayo might be. But I fairly well recognise that Dean Rock is possibly the best free kick taker in GAA. So should he not look to
I know to
profit in some way, shape, or form from this? And why is being from Ballymun any less? Like, why should he not charge for it because he's from Ballymun?
For me, it comes down to the point of you've decided to enter into this amateur sport yourself, and that's the way I see it. And that, okay, you've chosen to go the amateur route rather than maybe pursuing a professional sport. So I can see both sides of the argument, but at the end of the day, for me, it boils down to that. Like, well, you've chosen to do it's like an amateur boxer kind of trying to do something similar on the side while he's on the Olympic team or something. Like, it's you've chosen to do that. You haven't chosen to go down a professional route.
But there's even boxing coaches, and they charge hundreds for, like,
I guess. I mean, maybe it's a bad example because it's a different setup.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying it must creep into every single sport. And I suppose with this one, like, if you think, I remember a while ago, our club had guest speakers from, like, you know, Irish rugby, from Ga and all that. And because they're that famous, in Ireland and all that they're the type of, they're the type of prices to charge for that, do you know?
Yeah, I did see a lot of people commenting underneath that as well, saying, you know, county boards get in other guys that are essentially bluffers, and might be the biggest new fad in fitness or something, and they'll pay, you know, $1,500 to get a guy in to do a session for 2 hours. So why not have the best in your own sport at a certain thing, teaching guys how to take.
And I guess, like, the thing kicks is, at the end of the day, and someone makes a great point, someone called 49 undefeated, and I'm just going to say the first part of the tweet, and it just says, but it's optional. You know, so I guess at the end of the day, you choose whether you're going to spend the money or not.
Yeah, I in the beginning, I was saying to myself, no, don't agree with that. But when I read some of the comments, I quickly turned around to thinking, do you know what? He should probably be charging more. If this is some of the stuff he's dealing with, he should probably charge more.
We should all be receiving money for the stuff we deal with on Twitter.
Hassle money, I think. that sort of thing.
Cool. Sean, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Cormac, this week on Irish Twitter, did anything catch your eye?
Well, yes, actually, thankfully, something did catch my eye because I, as I said, I was slightly unprepared, but thank you to Saoirse McHugh, who dropped a major bombshell on the Green Party yesterday. She's decided to leave the Greens. Saoirse would be fairly well known within the Green Party. She ran for Europe. She ran for the local, the TD elections and the Senate and the elections for Senator. Now, she didn't get in through either of them. I think that could possibly have something to do with, you know, she's in a relatively small constituency, unfortunately, for her.
Didn't she still get a lot of votes, though? Didn't I see, like...
Yeah, she got over 50,000 first preference votes, so I don't know if that, you know, if where she is maybe isn't helping her. If she was in Dublin, she probably would have got elected, but anyway, that's not what I'm talking about. She said, look, I have left the Green Party. I doubt that's a surprise to most people. The reasons I have left are obvious. I joined the Greens with the hope of furthering the cause of climate justice. And she goes on to say that, you know, basically the reason she's left is she doesn't think that this party is going the way that it should be. And the decision to enter government was a bad one. And the programme for government is, you know, catastrophic when it comes to, you know, both climate justice and social justice. So Saoirse will probably maybe look to form her own party or maybe join a left-wing party like Rise or... I don't know.
Surely she's popular enough. But what was interesting...
Well, probably would be, yeah. I would say that would be her move. But what was actually caught my eye about the whole thing was not so much the announcement, because I think a lot of people knew it was coming. It was the vitriol that it was met with afterwards. And mostly by... I hate to say this, guys, I don't mean us three, but, you know, Irish white men just jumping on top of everything she has said for the last year or so, just appearing again. And a lot of the comments I won't read out because they're not very nice, and some people shouldn't be subjected to that. But a girl like Saoirse seems to terrify that group in society. I don't know if any of you have seen any of this stuff.
I've seen a few of it floating around. All right, so Cormac, what exactly are they so angry about?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think they really know, but their whole thing is that she was never elected, you know, like, who are you? Oh. Like, what have you ever done? Despite the fact that they themselves have never been elected and have never probably put themselves forward for election. And should we also take away the opinions of journalists because they're not elected? You know, is the only opinion of people, it's the only opinion that matters is people that are elected, or what's the story there now? But that seems to be their big gripe, that she was never elected and has got all of this publicity because, in inverted commas, she is a woman. Is their attitude.
Yeah, it's kind of like being a Barstool footballer, isn't it? That kind of... I'm not an expert, but
exactly.
I know you're wrong.
But it was it's quite tragic to see, you know, like, she's obviously very bright and really knows what she's talking about and has a will to change things, but it's maybe, like, I've seen a few people commenting, like, you know, this is why young women do not get involved in politics so much in Ireland, you know, that this kind of abuse is a reason that they stay away. But the last couple of years in Ireland have shown that you don't necessarily need to be in a party to affect change. We've had the repeal campaign, which was grassroots. We've had the marriage referendum, which again was grassroots. You know,
the Healy Rays were independent, right?
Yeah, well, this is what I'm saying. You don't necessarily need to even be elected to get something up going off the ground. So I'm not sure what these guys in particular are are really getting it. I don't know, but it was quite sad to see. But hopefully, we haven't seen the last of her.
Sad but predictable. Sean, did you see any of this yourself?
I actually didn't have a clue what it was about until Cormac brought it up. I think they shouldn't be getting on her back over, like, if she's not elected, she's still entitled to criticise the party and take her own stance. But obviously, the best I did actually see about it was about the Eamon Ryan election. It was the Simpsons Twitter account, Irish Simpsons Twitter account, had a brilliant one of Bart and Lisa waking up Homer, and just said, "Well, when you find out you've got elected leader of the party again, really good."
Yeah, there was some great ones during the week before that when he was caught falling asleep. And it was, remember, Homer was in court and he wore the glasses. to fall asleep. But look, the deputy leader of that party, Catherine Martin, said, you know, "Sorry you're leaving, Cersei. Your talent, energy and commitment to climate and social justice is obvious to all. I hope to work alongside you in the future." And, a couple of people commented underneath that going, look, Catherine, you know, she's literally given six tweets here on why she's leaving. You were saying, like, hope to work again with you in the future. You're probably one of the reasons that she's gone. Outside of that, just before we actually came online to record this, I see that the Dáil has agreed to raise the salaries for junior ministers up to 140,000.
Well, thank God.
If applicable.
Good way to read the room.
That's getting a lot of traction at the moment. I'm afraid to even look at it right now, lads, to be honest with you, because it's going to be a disaster. They haven't had a great start. They lost a very important election yesterday, the government.
Their chief whip was getting some abuse.
Yeah. They lost the Cian Chóla election yesterday, actually. A couple of them from the government parties forgot to turn up and vote. So,
Jesus,
you know.
But they asleep as well.
Yeah. Pretty much, it's not been a good start for the new...
Yeah, I feel like even Micheál Martin, I haven't really heard it from him. I'm still hearing more from Leo.
Yeah, well, didn't somebody not ask that? Was it Sinn Féin TD asked that today? Oh, no, it was Alan Kelly, Labour Party leader, just asked yesterday, like, straight out in the Dáil. He was, listen, who is actually Taoiseach? Because we're still hearing more from Leo Varadkar than Micheál Martin.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen the Taoiseach get as much news coverage as the Taoiseach.
I don't think this government is long for the, you know, for power, to be honest with you. I think there's too many egos involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a bit like us.
I don't know, two of you maybe, not me.
Yeah, that's a very egomaniac thing to say. But anyway.
Yeah.
So look, that's all I've had so far from Irish Twitter, this week. What about you, Farrell?
So this week I was mainly looking at some of the COVID tracker stuff because I just need to punish myself, I guess. So essentially, as everyone knows, COVID tracker came out in the last week and a half. Which is brilliant. It's fantastic. So we can report whether we're feeling good, if we're not feeling too good. But of course, the release of such an app does kind of lure out the tinfoil hat wearing maniacs in society.
I can guess who these. I can probably name a few. But anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Definitely. Well, a chap called John McDonald. I'm nearly nervous, kind of giving out their names, their Twitter handles.
I know. Yeah.
But John said, "Be warned, if you download the COVID tracker in Ireland, you are handing over your personal information to a corrupt government. They will have everything from your phone number, medical records, and it can trace the contacts on your phone. It is not only yourself you are endangering." Tweets John from his Twitter web app.
So on his smartphone.
Probably. I've really been enjoying the irony of the complaints surrounding this. But I thought it was kind of the story was dying down before we started recording for the podcast, and then over the last 24 hours or so, people started kicking up a fuss because I believe Trinity released a study stating that, you know, people probably could be tracked. But then when we actually kind of read into it, it's Google, you know, it's a Google Play app that automatically gets you to kind of say, hey, can we track your IP address, what you're clicking on, all that kind of stuff. So the COVID tracker app has nothing to do with it.
Did notice that before, all right, about Google, but like I think that's fairly, I wouldn't say well known, but like it's not, I don't think it's in the background. I think it's part of when you're setting it up, like it's quite advertised. It's
stuff you agree to, and to be honest, you're using Android, as you know, it's essentially Google software, you know, so it's absolutely bananas. But I did love some of the initial reactions to the app being released. I know the Independent, the Irish Independent, tweeted out an idiot's guide to Ireland's new COVID tracking app, which seemed like a pretty apt way of describing that, and some of the comments it attracted underneath. My favourite one is, it's actually the top comment under it, is a fella called Niall of the Nine Hostages.
Oh, they kidnapped St. Patrick.
What?
Yeah. There's the pirate that kidnapped St. Patrick.
Yeah. Is this the guy, you know, was he Welsh as well?
No, was he Irish, lad. And Niall and Lighthouses went over to Wales and kidnapped St. Patrick.
What? Right? Does he just always have nine hostages? Or like, what happens if he has 10? Does he have to do away with one?
I assume so, yeah. I think he just likes having nine. Because if he doesn't want to be too sparse or too greedy.
He's into numerology.
Yeah. You know. Well, it was like, 300 or 400 something BC, so.
He's like,
or AD.
Yeah, I love it. I love that sort of stuff.
He's like a Pokemon trainer. He can only carry around so many at a time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I have only room for nine.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. St. Patrick, go!
Use your staff.
Yeah. And all the snakes disappear.
Yeah. But young Niall, the pirate here, kind of responded to the Indo's tweet with, so what happens when 100 kids decide to say that they're sick for a laugh? Mass panic. What happens when after the supermarket you are alerted that one sick person was there? Mass panic. Is this information actually useful? How will GPs cope with the scores of people freaking out? So Niall here has created two imaginary situations and then said, well, how will the GPs cope with these two imaginary situations?
Well, my first answer to Niall would probably be, but you know, given the fact that this has been developed by, you know, public health officials and scientists, there's probably a margin for error calculated in for that sort of stuff. And number two, the current health advice is, if you suspect you do have coronavirus, you are not to contact or go near your GP, really. You ring your GP, okay, yes, but you don't go in, so I don't think the GPs will be too inundated.
I think I just found my new favourite tweet. It's a new enough one. From a account called Carlo Gal.
It's cousin of Galway Gal.
Probably someone from Carlo.
They don't even spell it that way. It's like K-A-R-L-O.
Hence my
confusion. But Carlo Gal tweets out, if the postman delivering the post to the doll had the app and they entered on the app that they had symptoms of COVID, will the government, by their own rules, have to go into lockdown for 2 weeks? The Russians and Trump will have every government locked up. What a sham, this idea. And I feel like Carlo Gal's kind of,
I don't understand.
There.
I don't understand any of it, of that, really. What have the Russians got to do with it?
Russians have everything got to do with everything.
but a fellow called Oshin does reply about the more recent story about the Trinity, the more recent story about the Trinity study, kind of saying it's very frustrating that this story came out, because a decent amount of people will see this headline. And let's face it, most people read headlines now. And assume the government and Google is tracking them and go and uninstall the app. When really it's just down to a piece of software by Google that's been on, you know, 99.9% of Android phones since 2012. You know, like it's, and it kind of Ocean comes back with, if this article makes you delete the COVID tracker app, you should delete the rest of your apps and probably just throw away your phone.
Yeah, like I have it on my phone, and like if the government want to know that I was in Aldi four times the other day, then you know, fair enough. You know, I'm not too worried about it. If you're not committing a crime, you probably don't need to worry about being tracked. That's the way I look at it.
I think my favorite tweet related to this was a fellow called Shane McNally tweeted out, "I can't believe there's a U2 album on my COVID tracker app."
Ah, yeah, it's very good. I like that one. Remember that from years ago.
Brilliant.
Yeah, they took some flack. It's interesting you mentioned these guys. I can't remember his name, and I don't want to remember his name, but I found myself on going down a bit of a rabbit hole the other day, looking at Irish Patriots, you know, that gang. It's a guy up in Donegal. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend, you know, going down that rabbit hole too much further.
No.
Keep away from the tinfoil.
But I think with Irish Twitter this week as well, I was also looking at, and this is, there's a bit of background to this one, but essentially a fellow called Stephen Todd tweeted, I know Cormac, you follow him as well. I think he's from the Dundalk area.
It is a friend of mine, friended. Yes.
But he tweeted out that it was all kicking off in his residence group WhatsApp, where a Karen has complained about a group of six-year-olds writing chalk on the footpath. She took a photo of them, only to be informed that photographing kids without parental permission is an offence. Chaos.
And you know, that's chalk on the ground. Right. It's just a gateway into graffiti.
That was one of the actual responses, Sean.
Oh, was it?
Essentially likening it to a gateway drug. Stephen kind of started a bit of a thread. He also replied with, this is not a council estate, says Karen. I'm away to Woody's to buy some of them good old thick oil paints, see what she thinks about that.
See if she can get a Banksy on board. Would that be okay for her, like, if a Banksy was on a wall and she'd be like, oh, well, that's not council estate.
Are you implying that her complaint, Sean, is that the art's not good enough?
I consider all art at any stage beautiful art, but
it's all subjective.
Yeah, art is subjective. Yeah,
I know he's been having, you know, quite a few problems that residence group.
Well, here's the thing, Cormac. This came full circle for me when I discovered, yes, I live in the same estate.
Yes.
I
discussed this with you not too long ago, that I think he was living down the street from you, or behind you, or around the corner from you.
He's very popular. He's got a lot of followers.
He did post, you know, really beginning to miss the residents' WhatsApp group, and considered establishing a provisional one. And well, look, to say it took a turn for the IRA direction is another statement.
Well, I've some big news, and if Stephen's listening, they've deleted the WhatsApp group since. It's been disbanded.
Yes.
It is gone.
I did suggest that he did start up a new group and call it the Irish Residents Association, but
I'm still not joining it.
Well, you might be glad of it someday when there's kids outside your house with,
I'm in the same estate,
with graffiti.
But terrorising everybody with their chalk.
Yes.
Chalk. I actually read a book called The Chalk Man. And it was like, when there were kids, they used to like have this like secret code by writing chalk on the pavement. And then it turns out there's a killer that when they're in their 30s, they start seeing the drawings again. And they're all up for the chat. It's quite good. Chalk Man.
Well, that's eerily close to one of the responses. So this thread was getting some cracking responses from people of similar stories, I guess. But this chap David at underscore Tony Fundetto, I can reply to Stephen with in our estate WhatsApp group. One mum took a picture of chalk drawings in a road, thinking it was an elaborate code system made by burglars to rob particular houses.
Oh yeah, I have seen this actually. It's
some brilliant ones. But then, weirdly enough, there's a few weird opinions coming in regarding the photography of kids. So some fella called Clappo kind of came in with kind of really defending the whole kind of taking pictures of kids thing to kind of an eerie degree. He wrote, "Just to be clear, taking photos of people's kids without permission is not and never has been an offence of any kind. Parents may not like it, understandably, but it's not illegal. It's an urban myth."
Oh yeah, the urban myth, you know, debate.
Yeah, I mean, there are some strong words. And another fella called Darren also came in with, "Ignoring everything else for a minute, or for a moment, it is not an offence to photo anyone, adults or kids, if they're in a public place or visible from a public space. Whoever made that statement might want better legal advice." Darren, I don't think that's the problem.
Yeah, I don't. You see, people tend to get lost in, you know, they forget what the actual crux of the point was about.
And I just noticed Stephen actually wrote back to that guy saying it's a breach of the child's personal data to take the picture without parental consent and to publish online, which is what she'd done. See the Data Protection Act 2018. That's before you go near child protection legislation. Darren then replied again, really fighting his corner to take pictures of kids. Your original post said, "Photoing without permission was an offence. That is not true if they were in public, given the legislation is pretty big." And bad English, actually, here from Darren, I can't really read it. "Can you point me to the section you're referring to? Jesus Christ." So listen, there's a fellow called Darren on Twitter. He wants to photograph everyone's kids. Just be wary of it.
Yeah, and, you know, right, do your research after everything.
Just,
you know.
I mean, there are times to be pedantic on Twitter, and I think, you know, legislation regarding, photographing kids is not one of the times.
No, I probably would have deleted that tweet if I was him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's responded to a few people on the thread, so he's fighting that corner. Good man, Darren.
Well, you keep us updated on what's going on in your estate, Fergal.
Taking pictures of kids, apparently.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Okay. All right, so what we're going to take a look at next is just a quick look at Twitter in general and what's been catching everyone's eye. Sean, what's been tickling your fancy on Twitter this week?
Well, at the start of the week, the first thing I came up with was, or that I noticed, you know, the White House press briefing and the press secretary, is it Kayleigh McEnany or...
I think so. I can picture her, but I can't think of her name.
Can't remember her
name.
Well,
this ad put up, "Unbelievable." There's some Trump supporter, by the way. "Are you serious? Listen to this. It's infuriating. Freaking pull the credentials of whoever said that and demand a public apology." So one of the reporters from Al Jazeera asked Joan Kayleigh a question, and Kayleigh refused to answer, just wouldn't answer, wouldn't know the answer. And you can hear the reporter mutter something, and it sounds like, "Okay, you're a lying bitch." And there was an argument then on Twitter and what she actually said. So I'm just going to try to play it and see what you think.
"There are questions about mass mail-out voting, and I know you don't want to hear them, which is why you talk over me, but I encourage you to read the op-ed."
"Yes. On the China vaccine research." "This
is very you've gotten two questions, which is more than some of your colleagues."
"Yes. Thank you, Kayleigh." "Okay, you don't want
to hear." "There are questions."
So I'm not sure, could you hear that fully, but what do you think? Do you think she said, "Okay, you're a lying bitch"?
Oh, I don't know. I actually, the only bit I was kind of going, what the hell is that, was the China vaccine.
That's, yeah.
Trump's been pushing that for a long time now to kind of put the blame on China. And I've heard people with ridiculous arguments online saying, well, we called the Spanish flu the Spanish flu, but that flu wasn't actually found in Spain. Spanish
the flu was found America. In the States, yeah.
The Spanish media were just the first ones to report on it because it was during wartime and they were neutral and they were still operating.
I reckon it came from Kansas. Kansas flu.
Yeah.
Huh.
Anyway.
So did she say you lying bitch, now, Sean?
The reporter's name was Kimberly Hawkett.
Of course.
And she went straight up to Twitter kind of saying, there's a lot of misreporting out there on this briefing. The answer to your question is, I did not. What I said was, okay, you don't want to engage. So I'll play that and see what you think. So it sounds like she said, okay, you don't want to engage. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not sure what she said.
This is gonna be like could be that one bloody blue and gold dress, isn't it?
And that, it could be one that's of those funny because like, that's what people put up. They put up the picture
is,
of the
like. Is it like one
dress.
Of those moments where like, is it like one of those moments where someone says, "What did you say?" And she says something like, "Oh, I just said, you know, I got a really bad itch."
Okay, I got a really bad itch.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was that that caught me eye. And then sticking with the U.S. president kind of team, one of my favorite writers, Dr. David Robert Grimes. He's great on conspiracy theories and just kind of how science is misinterpreted. But his book, Irrational Ape, is really good. But he put up that Twitter are cracking down on, do you know all about QAnon?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I don't know a hell of a lot about it, but I have heard
of it. I know bits and pieces about it.
Yeah, well, Twitter is cracking down on the accounts. They're absolutely nuts. A lot of Trump supporters go in for it on their 4chan channel and all of that.
Sean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but don't they believe in the Illuminati?
They believe in deep state. Okay. Yeah. It's called deep state, and they reckon that there's these people. But surprisingly, what they believe, the people, the deep state that are in control, also running sort of child trafficking and stuff like this. And one of the dangerous theories that they came on, and one of the most bizarre, is Pizzagate. Did anybody ever hear about Pizzagate?
Well, I remember Pizzagate, yeah. There's been two very famous Pizzagates. If you can tell me what the other one was, I will buy you a pint when the place is reopened.
Is there anything to do with Pizza Rat?
No. There's been two very famous Pizzagates.
Okay, well, I'll go with the one I know about. Basically, there was this guy who started getting on the 4chan channel and reading all the stuff by this fella called QAnon. And all the stuff about Hillary Clinton was coming out. And
yes.
I think she had some charity with this famous pizza chain in America called Comet Ping Pong. And it's very popular. You know, one of those American pizza things that have amusements in the background? And
oh, like the bad guy from Toy Story.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rafa
yeah.
Benitez.
And, yeah. But
That's it.
Rumor was going around that this was all a front for the deep state's child trafficking. And this fella, very evangelical Christian fella and Republican and Trump supporter, all was just loving all these conspiracy theories. So he walked in to one of these chains with an assault rifle. And everybody ran out. And he went to this door where he believed all the children were being kept and pried it open to find computer storage. But he got arrested. And that's just an example of how dangerous this QAnon conspiracies are and how Trump feeds into it.
That one was in New York somewhere.
Yeah, I think it was in Washington. Yeah.
Was it?
What was the other famous Pizzagate?
The other famous Pizzagate, Sean, was in the tunnel in Old Trafford at a Manchester United Arsenal game. Somebody threw a piece of pizza at Alex Ferguson. For years, the person's identity was withheld.
Right.
And they would admit to it, but they did come on live TV at one point in the last couple of years and admit that it was them. It was Cesc Fabregas through a slice of pizza and Alex Ferguson after the infamous game at Old Trafford where I think United finished off Arsenal's unbeaten run. Now, I stand corrected on that. It also could have been the game where Van Nistelrooy and Martin Keown and all that had pretty much got into a fight with each other. But that was the other famous Pizzagate. Fergal was referring to Peter Rat, who I think was possibly on the New York
Peter
subway.
Rat was an adorable rat coming out of a subway station holding a piece of pizza in his mouth and hands.
He wasn't coming out of a subway restaurant with it.
No, well, they don't do pizza, Cormac. Come on.
Sorry, I'm not up on my
that's fake news.
American stuff.
But anyway, that's the QAnon crowd getting out. I recommend following that chap because he's very good for Dr. David Robert Grimes. He's very good for anti-conspiracy theories. Moving on from that, one of my favourite accounts that I just found was at The Weird History, and it's really good because it posts up like weird scenarios in history. So here I have one, Muhammad Ali. There's a picture of him trying to get a man down from a ledge. Never knew that happened.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact thing about it, but yeah, I can remember.
What's the circumstances here?
Some guy is trying to commit suicide, and Muhammad Ali is at the window trying to talk him down. So
yeah, I think he might have been at a press conference, maybe nearby, or it was around the time. I know Vietnam War was pretty much the '70s, late '70s, but it was after that whole scenario.
Right.
So he was on his whole reintegration into society after not dodging the draft, but refusing to go.
Yeah.
But it's a fairly famous photo, but I actually don't know the circumstances behind it.
Yeah, I never found it out. That's why I was kind of going, this is a cool account to follow. Another one here has a Coca-Cola advertisement made by spreading grains for pigeons in St. Mark's Square in Venice, which is...
That can't be real, is it?
Oh, well, I don't know. I'd have to check it out. But you can see Coca-Cola all made by the pigeons because they're too busy. Yeah, looks pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm not buying that one.
And then,
no way.
And then my last favourite picture was taken in 1999, and it's a divorcing couple defies their beanie baby investment under the supervision of a judge, and you can see the two of them really thinking hard about what beanie babies to want.
Well, there's a lot of things to consider, Sean. You know, how rare is the beanie baby? How low down the serial number is, is it market specific?
I was just about to say, if any of the three of us would know about this, it would be definitely Fergal.
I do love this photo now, though. It's very 90s. The guy's fashion sense is terrible.
In saying that, I will admit that I do have a fanny pack upstairs in my bedroom full of pogs.
Oh, so nice.
That I've yet to get rid of. And every now and again, I go up and look at it and go,
Have you got any slammers?
A couple of slammers in there, Fergal.
I've got a whole set of bogs too. We must do a trade.
We could bring them back.
Alf is back in pog form,
yeah.
And just my last, just going off from the whole history team, the Olympics had a throwback Thursday today. And it shows to put up the Olympic Games that was hosted by Hitler in 1936 with the hashtag Stronger Together.
Wow.
I feel like I
really... Japanese flag there as well, like, you know, in the actual Olympics.
I feel like I really need to emphasize that this is actually the official Olympics Twitter account that I've put this out. It's not a parody.
But that's been tweeted by a guy called James Felton, and he's got a really good book, 52 Times Britain Was a Bill End. And I'm just going to put in this last fact. I was reading it, and he was talking about slave owners, and that in the early 19th century the British government decided to, you know, pay reparations, not to the slaves, but the slavers, the slave owners. And at the time...
yes, because they didn't have enough money.
Yeah. The time it was like 20 million slavers. Oh no, 20 million pound paid by slave to the slavers. And yeah, like the government took out a loan to pay them. And in today's money, that's like about 2 billion pounds or so. So
wow.
Britain have actually been paying back that loan for years and only finished paying it in 2015, which is mental.
Paying it to who? Like to relatives
the,
of
well,
slavers?
To the people that they borrowed the money from.
Wow.
A really good book. You'd love it, Cormac. 52 times Britain was abandoned.
Yeah, I could probably write a few more of them.
Yeah.
To be continued.
Yeah, definitely.
Cormac, what about yourself this week? Have you noticed anything on Twitter?
Have I noticed anything, Fergal? I've noticed a few things in my sporting world. The first one was, look, Premier League is pretty much over, but Liverpool received a trophy the other night, and I just seen it was a Henderson Shuffle hashtag was trending, and I said, oh, okay, I'll have a look at this. Why is Jordan Henderson trending? And because the game was over, Liverpool had beaten Chelsea 5-3, and I said, well, what's he trending for? You know, he wasn't even playing. So then I turned on, and Jordan Henderson is on TV in a full kit lifting the Premier League trophy.
He John Terry'd it, didn't
despite,
he?
Despite not playing yet.
Oh, hold on a second, Cormac. Did he go full John Terry?
He did, Fergal. And as you know, the internet does not forget. So lots of people were quick to point out that, you know, John Terry took horrendous amounts of stick over this a few years ago. Well, Twitter would have been in its infancy at that time, but John Terry showed up at the Champions League final and lifted a trophy that, you know, in a game he was not playing in his full kit. So poor Jordan Henderson took the flack for that. But today, he was also trending again today. Jordan Henderson won the Football Writers Player of the Year award. Now, lots of people on Twitter are not impressed with this at all. Lots of Liverpool fans are impressed with it, but I'm not picking on Liverpool, but I think maybe they're missing the point in what the actual Football's Writer Player of the Year should be. I'm going to put a question to you guys. If I had to ask you to pick between Kevin De Bruyne, Sadio Mane and Jordan Henderson, would he come above either of those two?
No. And that even as a United supporter, De Bruyne is very clearly the best player in the league.
Yeah, I'd argue that Liverpool's most important player this year is probably Mane, but obviously, you know, Van Dijk, and that was important, but defense wasn't their problem this year. You know, Mane scored a lot of goals.
Trent Alexander-Arnold as well.
Well, yeah, funny enough, he didn't get a mention. Mm. Look, in now, the only thing I will say, the Football Writers Player of the Year award historically is a bit of a joke. A few years ago, there was a habit of a lot of West Ham players would win it for some reason, or London-based players would win it, because a lot of the writers were, at that time, there was a lot of them West Ham fans, and then the years after that, a lot of them were based in London. So it was always a London-based player that was winning it. But yeah, look, we'll see who wins the actual Players' Player of the Year. I would think that's more of
I did see a great tweet earlier. I can't forget or remember who it was, but it said, like, the players, in response, the players should get to vote who their favourite writer of the year was.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's not to, you know, crash on Jordan Henderson. It's not too many years ago that Liverpool were actually trying to sell him. This is before Klopp came in. Rodgers was trying to loan him out to Fulham. You know, they were trying to get rid of him. Alex Ferguson once said he wouldn't have bought him because he runs funny. I mean, like, you know, he's now won, you know, a Champions League, a couple of domestic cups, a World Club Cup, and a Premier League. So, you know, as captain of Liverpool, so he hasn't done too bad.
Done better than Stevie J, hasn't he?
Well, this is it. It's just, Dennis Irwin's son had a fantastic tweet up the other day going, you know, basically it was a picture of him as a child with the cup when he was younger, and he asked Steven Gerrard going, "You'll never get to touch this," you know. I just don't know where this feud come out of, but like, I'm here for it. I'm definitely
like
here for it.
Dennis himself would never say, "I love it."
Yeah, he seems like really polite.
Yeah.
Outside of that, interesting enough, just possibly a link back to Sean's Olympics tweet. The Olympics was actually supposed to start tonight, I think, in Tokyo. And I kind of done a bit of Olympics reading this week, and earlier on in the week when I got into the Olympics hashtags, there was a documentary trending called Athlete A. I don't know if either of you are aware of what it is, or have seen it or not seen it, but it's an extremely powerful documentary. I'd recommend watching. It's about the American gymnastics team in the Olympics, and this basically torture and sexual abuse that was going on in that area of
I have heard of
the
that.
American Olympics team, and was going on for quite a long time before Athlete A herself, Maggie Nichols, came forward. She made the initial report in the early 2010s, but another gymnast, Jamie Dancer was her name, had come forward about this years previous about Dr. Larry Nassar, who was basically a team doctor for the American gymnast team, that he was basically sexually abusing them. Nassar himself now is in prison for 60 years, so I think the man's in his mid-50s now at this point. He's not going to get out. But it's very powerful. I wouldn't want to say too much more about it, because I'd recommend anyone looking for a sports documentary to watch this week rather than watching the Olympics. Yeah. I'd recommend that they watch that, because we all turn on the Olympics when it's on and we're watching it, and sometimes you'll watch a sport and somebody won't land a move in gymnastics and you're sitting there going, you know, like, how did you not do that? Like, you know, but it's always been that sport, looking at it, you can tell that somebody's physically in pain when it's happening, you know, and you can see athletes carrying injuries. And the interesting thing that's come out of this now, it's actually stirred up issues in the British gymnastics side as well. They're reporting similar.
I would imagine that stuff like this, it's similar scenarios. It's a domino effect, isn't there? Unfortunately.
Yeah, like this guy Nassar was, I think the big gripe, gripe's the wrong word, but the big crime, I think, you know, those girls were put through basically the equivalent of torture camps, and he was supposed to be their one friend as team doctor. Like, he was supposed to be the guy looking after them, getting them ready for competition, you know, patching up any bumps and bruises, and, you know, he was also abusing them. So you know, there was, but it was systematic. I'd recommend watching it, because it was brought forward, and rather than reporting it to the police straight away, the head of the foundation tried to bury it. So they're now gone after him. You know, it's tip of the iceberg, I think, unfortunately, with the Olympics.
Yeah. And Cormac, is that on Netflix, or?
It is on Netflix, yeah. Athlete A is the name of it. Just another quick interesting one in the Olympics. You might remember a documentary from a few years back called Icarus.
Yeah.
It was about a guy, you know, he was looking into, wasn't it, to see what he could do if he
originally, he's into cycling, and the original idea for the documentary was to see if drugs, performance enhancing drugs, would actually make that big a difference to an amateur with his times and racing and stuff, and then somehow he got caught up with the Russian government and doping.
Yeah, so it was trending again this week within the Olympics hashtag, and I haven't stuck it on, but I did find out that an Irish guy, David Walsh is his name, an author, has actually written a book with the two people involved in kind of exposing it, Vitaly Stefanov and Yulia Rushanova, who's Vitaly's wife. And it's out now at the moment. I'm going to buy it and read it, because I just remember that whole documentary at the time, and from the hashtag, like, some of it was astounding.
Yeah, it's an amazing documentary.
You know, the cover-up that was going on. My last kind of thing in sports at the moment is, and I don't know if I should be excited about this or not, but Mike Tyson is back fighting. He's going to be fighting Roy Jones Jr. Later on, possibly in the year or whenever, you know, whenever the whole coronavirus thing
he's
is.
He's not going to go to Fight Island, though.
I don't know what to do with it, but like, why am I? I don't know why I'm excited to see this, but. But I am.
It's just like Rocky Six.
Sean, it's not a kick in the bum away from that, like, to be honest. Which he'll fight in an 8-round exhibition match.
Rocky Six.
There'll also be boxers versus MMA fighters on the undercard. So I suggest our own Irish problem might be making an appearance.
What's that great
on that card?
What's that great Simpsons joke? Rocky 2 plus Rocky 5 is Rocky 7. Adrian's Revenge.
Yeah, it's like someone's definitely going to be fighting a bear, yeah, or a kangaroo on this card. So. But it's going to be fair. Like, I've seen clips recently of Tyson trending on Twitter, and yeah, he looks in phenomenal.
Terrifying. Yeah,
shape, like, terrifying. Yeah. I think he's 53 now, but like, I wouldn't want to get like even the breeze of one of his punches coming past me, because he looks astoundingly powerful.
During The Hangover, I was listening to Conan O'Brien's podcast every now and again, and he's
traitor.
He's got a few more followers than us, but
I'm a big fan of Conan.
Yeah, and he had Zach Galifianakis on it, and Zach was saying that Tyson did clip him during that scene in The Hangover, you know, where he takes a punch. He said Tyson did clip him, and he said if he had caught like the full punch, he was dead, absolutely just dead.
Probably look, Mike Tyson has his demons and has done some pretty terrible things. I think we probably all know about them, but the guy, you know, he wasn't treated very well when he was being brought up, and he ran into Aurelian. We've spoken about boxing before on here with the Kennedy and stuff. It's a pretty unscrupulous world, and guys like Tyson, who mightn't have been well educated, etc., can get taken advantage of very quickly. And part of me would like to see him do well here, you know, and maybe just go way off into the sunset. I would be wary at 53 of him possibly getting dragged into a situation where he's fighting like a prime heavyweight and gets very seriously
hurt. A bear.
Or a bear. But either way, you know, there must be good money going on this one fight.
Yeah, I'd say it's millions.
And I'm hoping it's going to happen, but I think he's going to crumble Roy Jones. To be honest with you, I don't see it ending well for Mr. Jones.
Brilliant. All right. Well, I know.
So that is it at the moment, sports wise. Just to let you know, I'm in with a chance of winning the fantasy football in both my workplace and in another spot. So
in our league, yeah.
In our league, I was top, but I'm third now at the moment.
I'm just saying, I gave up. So
yeah. Look, well, we all find our excuses, but
was an excuse.
I just keep going to the last day and see what happens.
Best of luck, I guess.
Thank you.
I know for myself this week, I'll just probably go through the one thing that was really kind of catching my attention this week, and that is definitely brilliant fake Jurassic Park Twitter account that's been going around. I don't know if either of you have seen any updates from it.
No.
Oh, welcome to your new favorite Twitter account. So it's called Jurassic Park Updates. The Twitter handle is at Jurassic Park to go. That's the number 2 go. And it's got a few contributors to it. We'll quickly list off. And basically, yeah, it's just a fake Jurassic Park account. I guess continuing on from the original story, but just a ridiculous tweets every day. For example, you know, one of the tweets I think yesterday was just give the Velociraptor the talk. He seemed excited for sex.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. To which someone actually replied with a picture of a woman having sex with a Velociraptor. What? What's wrong with the internet?
No. Where did you get that from? I mean, could you drop the link for research purposes? No.
And we'll be retweeting that after.
Yeah.
Another great one is if a dinosaur takes you back to their nest, that means you are their wife now. We can do nothing about this. And it just reminds me of the League of Gentlemen there, you know.
You're my wife now.
Exactly.
Hello,
Dave.
There's a few crackers in it.
But where did this come out of?
The blue. It came out of the blue. It's been around for a little while, but it just, for whatever reason, it just kind of started getting noticed now. But it's absolutely brilliant.
I mean, I just love to know the thought process by somebody sitting there going, I'm going to set up a fake Jurassic Park account.
And to have, like, there's like 10 people who are like running the thing. Like they tweet like, there's 10 or 12 tweets a day. Like, it's consistent.
I mean, I'm trying to look at, what's it called? Jurassic 2?
At Jurassic Park 2 Go. With the number 2.
My favourite one here is somebody stuck up a picture of like palm leaves and saying, if anyone is near the raptor enclosure, please open the gate so I can run out. Accidentally locked myself in and hiding behind some palm leaves right now.
Yeah,
I'm going to give it a follow.
There's another one there, Sean. The Velociraptors have figured out how to hold a gun. And I'm going to read out my favourite two, and then I'll kind of leave it there, or you guys can look at some more. But they had one recently. Is please do not correct us on our dinosaur facts. We are new to all of this, which I think is just brilliant. And also my favourite one is found some shaving cream.
Oh yeah.
Deep cut. Love it.
Yeah. It's annoying when the T-Rex kills people. I like that one. That's a good one.
All right. Yeah.
It's adult night at Jurassic Park. Grab your favourite human adult and get ready to get freaky.
So good. All right. I think there's one here. I think this is one for Sean, really. You sitting down, Sean? Mm-hmm. In a sense, none of our dinosaurs have ever escaped, because society itself is just another, larger cage. Yeah, that sounds so smart.
Yeah, society is a larger cage.
The philosopher and Sean will be up.
The Velociraptor?
All night. The Velociraptor and Sean will be up all night, you know, really thinking about that one.
Yeah, I really feel that.
But that's the fake Jurassic Park account. It's bloody brilliant. Actually, I know I said I only need one thing, but I will go into the second one. This week, a photo of an old leaflet's been kind of doing the rounds on Twitter. And basically, it's a leaflet of excuses. excuses you can make to not have sex with your partner. So it's called 101 Ways to Say No to Sex. So I guess it's one of these kind of... what's that called? The celibacy kind of leaflets?
I can't remember the name of it, but that would be it.
But yeah, it gives a lot of reasons. Like, there's like 43 of them. And I know Chrissy Teigen, who's quite popular on Twitter, but for obvious reasons, kind of just tweeted out number 28. That's her go-to reason, which is, it's not worth it. Sean, have you seen this list?
I have. I like the one... I'm not sure what number it was. I think it was around the 20s. Don't make me laugh.
Don't make me laugh.
Yeah.
Brilliant. How's it going? Cormac, have you picked out your favourite one of these excuses to say no to sex?
No, not yet.
Still going through it.
I'm still going...
Hey, Fergal.
Where do I go?
There's actually another side, and it's also alternatives, you know.
Is there?
Yeah. I think one of them was play mini golf together. Kiss.
Yeah, I'd be down for that.
Snuggle up. Things like that. Yeah, mini golf.
That's kind of sweet, isn't it?
I like mini golf.
We don't have a mini golf in town, no, though, do we? Don't. We had a pitch and putt, but you know,
two pitch and whatever. Putts.
Yeah, this town's not big enough for two pitch and putts, Fargo.
It's only room for one.
Pitch and putt is like third base, you know.
I went to a great pitch and putt one, or sorry, mini golf place in Manchester before, and it's a bar as well. So there's kind of bars throughout the course and stuff.
Right,
it's good crack. But my favorite response, I think, to this was someone coming back, and I think dead serious, going, as an asexual, I don't understand why someone just can't rub one out when they feel horny. I wouldn't want to risk pregnancy or disease for half an hour of the same pleasure you'd get while masturbating.
Half hour. Being ambitious there. Very ambitious.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
I'm just eating my popcorn. Don't mind me.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to say any more because I'm only doing myself damage.
I think that feels like a good place to end this segment.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so for our third and final segment, we're going to play our usual game of what are they tweeting about. I've only two topics this week. So what I will be doing for the segment, for anyone listening in for the first time, is I'm going to read out some tweets associated with a story that was trending on Twitter this week, and the two lads are going to attempt to figure out what I'm talking about, and then we'll generally just talk crap about it. So the first few tweets I have for you are one from Dan that says, given how 2020 is going, I expected that lightning would blow up that thing. Daniel Pasner tweets out, amazing capture, kind of makes you think the universe is trying to tell us something. At Peter Malik tweets, any other year, this is cool. In 2020, it just comes off as particularly ominous. And lastly, Dan Rather tweets out, cued opening shot for future documentaries about the year 2020. Sorry, Sean, any idea what we're talking about?
Is this the scene in the Ghostbusters when the Statue of Liberty comes to life?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is,
what?
Sean.
That's not what I thought it was.
Well, you know what, lads? You are not a million miles off. So, I believe it was yesterday, lightning struck the actual Statue of Liberty in New York, and a lot of people got kind of photos and videos of it, and it's absolutely incredible looking. We might retweet it on the main account, actually, just for people to see. It's absolutely spectacular.
I have a better lightning strike video, I'm willing to bet.
Oh, God.
There was a football player struck by lightning in training during the week, and it was caught on CCTV, yeah.
God.
Well, I'll show what he's after this. Because,
is he really, really fast now? Can he run really fast?
Yeah, I think he might be.
Did he turn into a superhero?
Next year's. Well,
Sean, there's no need to steal my comments like that.
Oh, here, man. That's.
It's funny you mention that, Fargo, because today is the first day of Comic-Con 2020.
It is. I knew one of you would bring up. I just knew it.
Yeah. It's funny that I know that.
I do know that. I just wasn't bringing it up.
You did know that.
You know, just trying to keep that life separate.
Yeah. Is that why you text me? Is that why you text me beforehand saying, please mention Comic-Con 2020?
Oh, you shut up. All right, let's move on to the second one. So I've got a few tweets here. The first one's a long one, so bear with me. It's from Asha Ragnagappa, which I've definitely butchered her name. But imagine all the tests people take, from medical boards and law bar exams to professional licensing tests. And he can't stop talking about his dementia exam. I honestly think it's the only test he's ever taken that he has passed. No other explanation for his obsession with it. Atsu Reif tweets, it's amazing. No one has ever got five words in the right order before in the history of the universe. And lastly, at Duan Joal tweets out, the guy with the good memory who can't remember the name of the test he took. What do you think I'm talking about?
It's got to be the very stable genius. That is
the very stable genius himself.
That is Donald.
Yeah, good old Donald.
What was it? Human? No. Person? Woman? Man? Camera? TV? Or TV camera?
Well, Sean, what I can do is I can actually play it out loud. So what I can do is I'm actually going to play it out loud, okay? And you guys can listen to it and tell me what you think. It's a disturbing minute interview, okay?
I said to the doctor, who was Dr. Ronnie Jackson, I said, is there some kind of a test, an acuity test? And he said there actually is, and he named it, whatever it might be. And it was 30 or 35 questions. The first questions are very easy. The last questions are much more difficult, like a memory question. It's like you'll go person, woman, man, camera, TV. So they say, could you repeat that? So I said, yeah. So it's person, woman, man, camera, TV. Okay, that's very good. If you get it in order, you get extra points. Okay, now he's asking you other questions, and then 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes later, they say, remember the first question? Not the first, but the 10th question? Give us that again. Can you do that again? And you go, person, woman, man, camera, TV. If you get it in order, you get extra points.
I absolutely love the idea of extra points. But it's just madness. I think my favorite response to this, and I lost the tweet, so I can't remember who did it. But it was just like, Trump sounds like he's trying to reactivate the Winter Soldier. This thing is absolutely tremendous.
All the QAnon soldiers awaken and take over the country.
Oh yeah. But what I would recommend is checking out Sarah Cooper. I don't know if you lads have noticed her on Twitter. She's a brilliant comedian in the States. She's just been reenacting Trump's basically speeches.
Like a Mad Lib.
Yeah, exactly. And when you see somebody else kind of just lip reading what he's saying, it is nuts. But my favorite response to this whole thing was somebody did a remix. Somebody did an honest to goodness remix to it. And it's someone called I Am Louise LaRoche. So it's a songwriter and artist from the UK, apparently.
LaRoche or LaRoche?
Ferrero? I don't know. He did a Daft Punk remix of the thing.
Oh, very good.
Which I'm going to play for you because I'm nice like that.
Thanks for it. Last questions are much more difficult. Like a memory question, it's like you go person, woman, man, camera. So they say, could you repeat that? TV, woman, man, camera, TV. Give us that again. Can you do that again? And you go, person, woman, man, camera, TV. And repeat them. Can you do it? And you go, person, woman, man, camera, TV. That's amazing. How did you do that?
I love that. I'm going to make that my ringtone.
So that's obviously, that's the sample from, was it harder, better, faster, stronger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's I Am Louis LaRoche.
I mean, he's just the most, you know, like he is the only, obviously, look, we're living in a different time and it's easier to pan these guys, but he's just the most panable president that they've ever had. Like, Clinton, there's some great moments with Clinton and Bush, but, like, this guy is...
See, that's the thing. People are going to, like, keep voting him in because he's so entertaining.
Do you think so? I mean, I'm hoping that, like, his legacy is just one of just, you know, this sort of stuff. Just memes and silly videos. You know, that's what I remember him for, to put it that way. But then again, I suppose if you're living in America, it could be a different story.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, that is us for this week. Gentlemen, I want to thank you for joining me again. I hope you had fun.
Okay, thanks, Fergal.
I hope everybody had a good time. Cormac, any plans for the weekend?
Oh, no. I'm going to clean the house, Fergal. That's about it.
Love it, love it. Sean?
Sorry, I love the way I really deliberated over that answer.
did it really have anything that was going to compete with it? Sean, any plans for the weekend?
I'm just going to finish this bag of popcorn. Proper popcorn.
Yeah, for anyone who's, I mean, you can't see because it's a podcast, but it's a giant bag of popcorn. He's clearly stolen from the cinema, so probably will take it home again.
Yeah,
Sean loiters out the back of the Omniplex, and I wait for them to throw away the bits that they sweep into the bins, and then eats them.
Yeah, it's really nice popcorn.
Nobody is surprised.
No, yeah. Product placement.
Brilliant. Thanks for listening to Tweets Ahead, folks. You can find us on Twitter at Tweets Aheadcast. You can also follow us on Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Spotify. Do like and share, and do subscribe to our podcast. Have a good week, folks.